This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Mooncursor. They are delighted to let you know that their Osoyoos East Bench Tasting Room is now open daily for tastings and sales. Guided wine tasting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They offer a private winemaker tour and tasting. And of course, they offer sales and complimentary shipping with orders of 12 bottles or more. We welcome back Beta and Chris Tully. And just a heads up, in this fire season, check with the website to make sure they're open and waiting to greet you. All the details at mooncursor.com. Hello, I'm T.D. Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We started this show, my wife and I, Meg, in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench. When we did get to Nanoose Bay on Vancouver Island, so we could be closer to our grandkids, decided to check out the wineries of Vancouver Island, including the Cowichan Valley. And the one that I was attracted to almost immediately was Unsworth. It was just a handsome winery. The building, the tasting room, the vineyards, it was gorgeous. And they had a wonderful rosé, lots of whites and reds, a wonderful Pinot. And they seemed to have a direction. Somebody else was paying attention. Barbara Banky and her daughter, Julia Jackson. The Jackson name is actually the one you pay attention to simply because she is the daughter of Barbara Banky and Jess Jackson, of Kendall Jackson, a major player in the world of wine. Jackson Family Wines have acreage in California and Oregon and Australia and France and Italy and South Africa and Chile. However, Barbara Banky and Julia Jackson had their own interest in wineries. And they were looking around for vineyards and wines that got their attention, that they liked the practices of the vineyard. So we woke up one morning here in British Columbia and in Canada, in the wine world, to realize that Barbara and Julia had decided after looking around that Unsworth would be the perfect property for them in British Columbia and on Vancouver Island in the Cowichan Valley. And we were all just amazed at what it could do for Unsworth, for Cowichan, and for Canadian wines. In the meantime, I got a heads up that Unsworth had purchased 60 acres of prime land on Vancouver Island to up their production from 10,000 cases a year to 20. Well, I immediately wanted to see, I wanted to walk the land, wanted to kick it around and talk to everybody at Unsworth about what this means for them and for us, the wine consumer, and for the Cowichan Valley and Vancouver Island. And also because I am totally compelled to do it, I must taste food and pair wines at the same time. Here's our conversation. It's all Unsworth. He is Chef Martin Hoogeveen at the restaurant in Unsworth. And you're going to hear noises because it's a working vineyard, okay? Chris Turek's making noise out there. There's a tractor out there. Somebody's cutting, pruning, whatever. Dan is here. Chef, I wanted to talk to you first because I know it's a vineyard, but the food is everything.
Oh, yes. I mean, together here, it's everything together. It's the food and the wine and the location. It's the whole package here at Unsworth.
Can you give us the 30-second bio of the kitchens you've been, the places you've been to get to this point?
So I started at Radisson Hotel in England, and that's where I started at the bottom. I've worked at Craigie Range Winery as a sous chef in New Zealand for a couple of years. I worked in the south of France for a bit, and then I worked at a Michelin star restaurant in Sweden as a sous chef for a year under Chef Hans, which was probably one of the highlights of my career until now.
And what attracted you to this?
I grew up on a dairy farm, and I always had a garden full of beautiful produce, and I've been cooking from a young age, and... It's the cooking food and fresh local produce like we have here in the Cowichan Valley.
It also gives you a chance to express yourself as a chef.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, every chef's got their own style. And I mean, you develop that over years. And working with different kitchens around the world, you kind of find what you like to do yourself.
So when you saw what you were dealing with in terms of ingredients and locale and availability, what was the first thing you wanted to put on the menu?
Clams and mussels. Seafood. I mean, we're an island. I mean, I come from an island myself, and like seafood is one of the things that I love to work with the most.
And how much wine knowledge did you pick up along the way?
Working at Craigie Range, I developed quite a lot of wine knowledge. And even when I was working in the south of France, my good friend there was a sommelier. So bringing all of that into here at Unsworth, it helped a lot. And I've learned that wine is very subjective. Same with taste of food. And what I think works well is a combination of different people and different ideas working together. Yeah.
He is Chef Martin Hoogeveen at the restaurant in Unsworth. Okay, Chef, you sent me three things from the menu that we were going to pair. And I'm intrigued by it. First of all, the wine is the Cuvée de Lille. Your dish was?
That was the smoked ham hock and Clevedon cheese croquettes. Clevedon is a Holt Whistle cheese, which is a local cheesery around here. And it comes with a apple and zucchini relish. So it pairs really well because with the deep fried croquettes, it pairs well with the bubbles. It's a nice starting point for
it's
the meal.
It's an appetizer?
Yes, it's an appetizer. It's a good starting point for the meal.
What do you know about the Cham de Lille?
The Cham de Lille is the iconic wine here for celebration.
I will... You know the rosé pays a lot of bills, but the Cham de Lille has been so popular.
Yes, yes. It's what people come here for to celebrate with. Dan's probably the best one to
Dan! Come on and join us for a second. Dan Wright, the winemaker at Unsworth.
He's asking me complicated questions.
Very complicated. Tell me about Cham de Lille.
How's it going?
Hi, Dan.
Hey, good to see you.
I cleaned you up.
Not really, you know. A little bit.
Now,
put on a clean shirt for
you. We were talking about what we were going to pair food-wise with the Cuvée de Lille. Have you seen what he's paired with?
I haven't.
Tell me again.
As the ham and cheese croquettes, smoked ham and Clevedon croquettes, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Like the fattiness of the ham and the Clevedon cheese with the sparkling.
And the Christmas.
Christmas and the acidity and the tiny bubbles.
What else could you do off the menu?
That pour?
Seafood chowder. Yeah. That one actually surprisingly pairs really well with the...
Sparkling?
Yeah.
Is it creamy?
A little bit of creamy, yeah. Well, we make it slightly different to a lot of people because we start with a base of fish stock and potatoes is the thickener, so it's completely gluten-free. Yeah.
What goes with the fries? I don't see fries on the menu.
Well, we do have fries with the burger, right?
Are they truffle fries?
No,
they're hand-cut, hand-cut Kennebec fries. But we also have the polenta fries.
I wanted to ask you about the polenta fries. So would the Cham de Lille go with that?
Absolutely, yeah.
I love just sitting, getting a bag of chips or bowl of fries and drinking sparkling. It's perfect, right? I always like if I'm waiting in the airport for a flight or something, that's what I go do, sit in the lounge and get a glass of sparkling and a bowl of fries.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Chef Martin Hoogeveen from the restaurant at Unsworth. Dan Wright, the winemaker at Unsworth. All right, Chef, tell me about your second item.
The second item is the beetroot falafel. So there's there's beetroot in the falafel. There's a beetroot puree on there. There's pickled beetroots on there. And then there's a sumac yogurt. Sumac is a spice, a Middle Eastern spice. It's kind of citrusy.
Yep.
And then there's mustard greens on top. So the nice peppery mustard greens. And then we make flatbreads out of our pizza oven, actually with the pizza dough recipe. Get it on a plate and ideally just stuff it all into the pita bread.
That's going to be great. What are you pairing with it?
You
said it's the 2020 Sunnydale Vineyard Rosé.
Oh, yeah. So this is a single vineyard rosé, which I think is kind of unusual, but this is a great site. It's a little slope on Mount Newton in Saanich, on the Saanich Peninsula, south-facing slope, probably about 200-meter elevation, and... Just a nice, delicate clone, thin-skinned Pinot Noir, 164. It's not super well-known, but and we do very light, gentle skin contact, so it's very pale and delicate, fresh, you know, that sort of Provençal, dry, crisp.
Got to be dry.
Absolutely dry.
Got to be dry. And crisp and not sweet.
Yeah.
Which is what people still think rosé is.
I know, yeah.
That's because we went through years of bad rosé.
Yeah, I think Unsworth, right from the beginning, has been a leader in that and making consistent dry rosés. Like our classic rosé is in that style as well. And this is just sort of pushing it to another level. It's barrel fermented, so there's a little bit of roundness and also just a little phenolics from the barrel, some complexity there, but it's classic.
As at one point, was the Sunnydale going into the Unsworth Rosé?
Yes, yeah.
Then you decided, because of how it tasted and resonated with you, to go single.
Correct, yes. And we sometimes use it a little bit in our sparkling, in our Charme de Lille as well, Rosé. I always try to ferment the block separately and then see what's standing out in the cellar.
And we're going to see more of that, the naming of the vineyard, the actual...
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think we've got that with Pinot Noir. We've been doing Saison Pinot Noir single vineyards, and we've been... Well, yeah, like I said, we always try to keep things separate, and then if it doesn't quite make the cut, it'll go into a blend, but yeah.
The Sunnydale... Vastly different, because I haven't tasted it yet. Vastly different from the rosé that we know, Unsworth?
Yeah, it's like I think in the dimensions of just a little drier and a little bit more like complexity from that barrel. So it's not so fruit forward, and it's just a little bit more on the herbs and that sort of thing.
I just like the sound of it already. And the third dish for today's tasting
is the steamed Salt Spring Island mussels with fennel, cherry tomatoes, and a Pinot Gris white wine sauce. I'll set you up there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for reminding me what we're pairing with.
I mean, like I said earlier on, I love the seafood here on the island, and Salt Spring Island mussels, I mean, are just absolutely phenomenal. And then the sweetness coming from the local cherry tomatoes as well, which are just popping up into season now. That one is an iconic dish. What better to get a big bowl of mussels and some bread to dip in the sauce on the table? It's like my style of eating, that is.
Just slob all over the place. Completely empty the bowl. Yeah. The 2019 Saison.
That's right, yeah. So another single vineyard wine here. This is in the Cowichan Valley, North Cowichan Valley. Again, a south-facing site. Beautiful, well-drained, gravelly soils. And this Pinot Gris 2019, now it's getting a little bit of age on it, so it's coming into its own. It's dry, it's crisp, and it's got that sort of minerality, that tension in the wine.
Now, on the plate, mussels, cherry tomatoes, fennel, garlic, parsley, Pinot Gris, butter sauce, grilled focaccia. What is it that Pinot Gris really wants to pay attention to?
Oh man.
You can try to pair to all of them, but it would be good if you paired to one.
Yeah, it's got to be the sauce, right? The sauce that pairs with the
sauce.
Wine.
Sauce is the key.
That's what makes that dish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like I said, with the sauce, dipping the bread in at the end, having a little sip of your Pinot Gris.
And you've got a little bit of the wine in the sauce too, right? To sort of marry it together, right?
Yeah. I never fail to do this next little thing. This is how we're going to end. Chef, challenge Dan, winemaker, to pair something from the menu. Something he's not prepared to pair for. Go ahead.
let's say, the chicken dish. It's chicken supreme.
Chicken supreme.
It's got the saffron potatoes.
Yeah.
And snap peas, kale. Okay. And that's in a Allegro butter sauce. I know, but saffron is the tricky one for some people to pair with something.
And what are you pairing with it, Dan?
My excuse, if I'm not as sharp as I normally am, is because we're just in the midst of a little bottling, and I have what's called bottling brain, but I'm just making excuses. So
it's more like bottle shock.
My brain's a bit bottle shock. The obvious choice there is because he does have Allegro, but I'm gonna go with our 2019 Chardonnay that was just released and is here on site. Okay. And you know, that classic, I mean, Chardonnay chicken, I'm not sure if it, saffron, you know, I'm not an expert on what to pair with saffron, to be honest, but I think you can do
and
it.
Now we're gonna reverse it.
One of your pours that he's not prepared to, he doesn't know this coming. One wine, and then we'll see what we can match it from his menu.
So we do a very small batch of Auxerrois. Have you had that wine?
Yes, I have, actually. Yeah.
And
so I'll leave it there. There's that's pretty good. Auxerrois. What was your, what's on the menu?
I would probably pair that with our halibut dish, to be honest. Halibut dish, it comes with a lime aioli, lime and dill aioli on the bottom. You got the potato mushroom croquettes.
Okay, you've got me. You're right. You're absolutely right.
That's a good pairing. I mean, like, acidity of the dish, actually, I think, is balancing the wine because Auxerrois is just a little fatter and rounder of a wine. Okay. Yeah.
Let's get the Turks in here. They're in the green room. Yeah. Thank you, Chef.
Chris, hey, thank you very much, Terry.
Thank you, Dan. I'm going to see you again.
Okay.
You're not done yet.
Okay.
Right. Carry on with your life. Chef Martin Hoogeveen from the restaurant at Unsworth. Martin with two A's. Hoogeveen with two O's and two E's. Dan Wright, the winemaker at Unsworth. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Mooncursor. They are delighted to let you know that their Osoyoos East Bench Tasting Room is now open daily for tastings and sales. Guided wine tasting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They offer a private winemaker tour and tasting. And of course, they offer sales and complimentary shipping with orders of 12 bottles or more. We welcome back Beta and Chris Tully. And just a heads up, in this fire season, check with the website to make sure they're open and waiting to greet you. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the Bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. Welcome back. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. We're spending the hour at Unsworth in the Cowichan Valley. They have earned the profile, the largest winery of the 50-plus on Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands, and the one really leading the innovations and the way to market yourself and the way to market your wines. It all started with Tim Turek, who had a career in the fishery business, and he decided to retire from that. And then his retirement, where, you know, you sit around and read books and things and golf? No. He started a winery with his wife. Just a reminder, by the way, as we're going to sit down with Tim Turek and the very talented viticulturalist Andrew Watt from Narrabetta Bench. That, Unsworth, will be part of the Cowichan Wine Festival, which will take place the entire month of August. And if you intend on going, I suggest you maybe contact Unsworth and the other wineries and make a reservation. Thank you. Here's Tim Turek and the very talented viticulturalist Andrew Watt from Narrabetta Bench. I have Tim Turek right here, Unsworth, the man who founded this estate, as it were. You haven't retired, have you?
Not really. It's, I guess with COVID, there really hasn't been the opportunity for much of a changeover of any kind, really. Haven't noticed a great deal of difference from a year ago, other than I now get a paycheck, but which is a welcome.
That's different.
After 10 years.
Okay. What's changed here? You would know this. We might not ever notice changes in how you do things, production, growing, just, you know, day to day. How much has it changed?
Again, very little. The major change has been the purchase of some new potential vineyard land. But as far as our day-to-day operations, you know, again, with no cross-border travel and all that sort of thing, we've been left to continue on what we have been doing, which was the general idea anyway. Now, a little bit of new sales activity, trying to plan for expansion in the future, of course.
Expansion where?
I'd say, of course, Ireland has been our main success and focus, more on the BC mainland, but also some in Alberta and even looking across Canada a little bit for a future. So,
how about down the States?
Not yet. I think, one day when we have some production that warrants a little bit more effort there.
But tell me about the 60 acres that you've purchased.
It's kind of a hidden vineyard. That's why it took a while to find it. And it was up a long driveway with a chain in the front saying trespassers will be prosecuted. So eventually I phoned the agent that was listed on the sign, and we got to see the property and were surprised what was in there. And there's what,
was it a vineyard at the time?
No, it was a mostly forested. The fellow that had it had planned on building a home there, actually, but it's ALR land and right in the middle of the valley, but again, surrounded by forested properties, so very difficult to see.
You needed to know that soil would sustain what you wanted to do. How did that go?
We had it analyzed and realized it's very similar to the soils here. And, there's lots of clay involved down a little bit, but there is topsoil. And the main thing was the aspect of the property, south-facing, sun from dawn till dusk.
And did the soil tell you what you could plant there?
It didn't tell me, but I think it confirmed to our vineyard manager and Andrew and Dan as well that it would support what we were focusing on, which would be Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. So,
yeah, you could grow more Pinot Noir.
Yeah, we need more Pinot Noir as we use it for so many different things, and that is a focus of the new owners. So.
How long has Sunnydale been part of your vineyard?
Almost from the beginning. I would say since 2012.
And that's Saanich, yes?
That's Saanich, yes.
How different is that growing condition there?
It's a little different. It's he's on a hill, very breezy sometimes. I think temperature's similar. They get the ocean breeze as well. The fruit is different enough to put up a separate bottle.
So, Tim, what is your current production total?
10,000 cases, yeah.
And when that new vineyard comes online, a couple of years down the road, what then would be the production?
20,000 cases. So we've got some work to do.
Now, I know this, and I'm sure that you know this, and you have this discussion with people from time to time. There's something happens after 10,000 cases. The quality of the wines take a backseat to the production of the wines, and it's sort of a fail-safe. Do you really want to go there? Do you really want to go over 10,000? And I've had this conversation many times with a lot of winemakers and owners, but you feel assured that you can control that production going forward?
I believe so. We have no intention of getting rid of our current growers, who are all understand what we're trying to do. So, and that's a good chunk of the production. As we go forward, our percentage may increase to say 60% of our own vineyard will increase to 60% or 2/3. But they don't plan to change that at all. So it really means we're just looking after a little more of our own fruit. And as far as the winery goes, it was built for expansion, and gradually over time, as this phases in, we will need to get a bit more space. But we're pretty good for a while. I think that the challenge will be the sales. It's one thing to get the attention of the local island folk here, but as you go further away, your wines better be a standout to get the attraction.
And sometimes it helps if there's a story that goes with, and you have lots of stories that goes with. Mm-hmm. I think it bears repeating. Congratulations on the success of Unsworth.
Much appreciated, Terry. Thank you very much for being
here. Right from the very beginning, the very first baby steps to where we are now, well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And well done, you Unsworth fans.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
Andrew Watt, viticulturist. Key to any winery. Where did you come from? What part of the world?
I'm from Naramata originally.
Nice.
Yeah.
I lived there 5 years.
Oh, did
I
you?
Still talk about it.
Wow, that's amazing.
We were on Upper Bench.
Yeah.
I could see the roof of Township 7 and the original Poplar Grove.
Yeah.
And...
So you're up on Campbell's there. You were up on, above on Campbell's?
On Hillside Road.
On Hillside, cool.
And so... And the road that I walked down to get the morning paper down to Upper Bench,
yeah.
on the left-hand side was Zweigelt, gorgeous. And at the bottom was a frost pocket that they were never going to grow on. That's where Roche built.
That's right.
They would have been my neighbor.
Okay, I know where you are now. Okay. Yeah.
Is that where you started your career?
Yeah, I started out, I started working for my family at Kettle Valley Winery when I was about 13.
And what did you learn there that told you this was your career?
I just enjoyed the work, you know. I got a message from some friends just the other day saying it was a guy. He's a diver now, and he's in Sardinia in Italy, running a diving company, and he for research. And he just sent a message saying, "Man, I really just missed working in the vineyard with you guys right now." He's like, "I got a lot of responsibility, and I really just miss hanging out in the shade at lunchtime," you know. And I think it starts with that, like just enjoying your workplace. And then you start to pick up some things, and you know, you roll from there.
So you step in. When did you get here?
2018.
Okay. So everything's changed, and nothing's changed. And like people coming in, this is the same restaurant that they knew for a couple of years ago. But there's new ownership, and that changes the dynamic. And they of course would want a reading from you as to what's in that soil. And what can we grow? What we can, what should we change crops, et cetera? So have those conversations already gone down and you plan?
Vancouver Island is such a young area that it just takes a long time to really figure out what's working. And, you know, it's been about, the grapes have been around here in production for about 30 years now. So they're starting to see just as an industry here that, you know, like Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Pinot Gris are all doing really well.
Yeah.
The Blattner varieties are great as well. And they just, you know, it's with the soil, it's about matching the rootstock to the variety and then the variety to the climate. Okay. And so that's kind of where we're at.
So we're going to take a look this afternoon at the 60 acres that were purchased. And we're forest, rough forest, and are now going to be a vineyard. Don't know if it's all 60, but a vineyard. You of course, you and your team would want to know exactly what soil conditions. Did the soil tell you what you could plant, or were you going to plant whatever you were going to plant?
Luckily, we're on the same soil type at this site as we will be at the new site. Yeah. So what we were seeing here applies directly to there, just slightly different moisture conditions. So we felt like we were pretty confident in the rootstock choices that had been made here. And from there, we're able to say, yeah, we think that we can grow world-class Pinot Noir and Chardonnay on that site.
Have you thought about your clones?
Yeah, that's a big question for Dan. Dan's, the winemaker is going to get, they know a little bit more about what they want from that final blend than I do, per se. I'll grow whatever clone he wants.
Okay. So we got Chardonnay and Pinot Noir for all of those 60 acres?
No, I think there'll be a little bit of Pinot Gris in there. There's some other stuff. We only had the property for a year. And so it does, like you were saying, like these considerations, they take a while. So we're going to need to look at this site and decide what our future portfolio looks like.
Did anybody mention Gamay along the way?
They did, yeah.
Come on.
Dan's pretty keen on the Gamay.
Come on.
Yeah. It's been talked
about. Dude, we need more Gamay.
Yeah. There we go.
Not just me being selfish, but we just need more Gamay.
And the thing is, with 60 acres, you can do that, you know?
Okay. Thank you for this. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, no worries. Thank you.
And give me the Naramata handshake. Thank you.
Thank you. Cool. Sure.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of 6 or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite, recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that the tasting room at Enrico Winery will be open this summer, Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. And you'll be happy to know that music has started on the deck, weather permitting. And a reminder that the whole month of August, they're celebrating the Cowichan Wine Festival. All of the details at EnricoWinery.com. Pouring at the table now, Chris Turek, first of all, is the guy you want to talk to in the tasting room. Just listen to what he has to say because he knows these wines well. I discovered about him, and I'd forgotten that I'd discovered about you years ago. Originally, you were going to be some wine guy. You were going to be a chef. You were going to be, like, you were at CIA in Napa. This was a serious deal. What set you wrong?
Well, I discovered I could taste things better than I could create them, so decided to do the easy part and get out of the kitchen.
What do you figure is the element that makes you a great taster? I mean, other than the fact that it truly is a gift.
Well, that and mentorship and having, you know, I have a pretty heavy educational background, especially at the beginning with the wine industry, and I was lucky enough to find instructors and mentors that have very acute palates and a great way of showing wines and a great way of speaking about them. I would say just the training and mentorship that I had was the most important thing.
Well done, because you do well. Well, we're going to find out in a second how well you do or how well you've done. Now, tell us about the three wines we're pouring today.
Right now in our glass is the 2020 Sunnydale Rosé. So Sunnydale is a vineyard on the Saanich Peninsula that year over year has a very different expression and a very consistent expression of the Pinot Noir fruit. And usually it goes into our, you know, Unsworth Vineyards Rosé. But in 2018 and now in 2020, we decided to keep it on its own just because it's a different expression and it's a unique expression. Not quite as fruit forward as our regular rosé. It's a little bit more savory and a little bit more floral, which is kind of an interesting juxtaposition. It's kind of got some sage heather notes, but also some kind of mild rose lavender notes. Which is
and really I bet we're probably going to see more single vineyard, at least vineyards being named on the label.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, we're such a young region, and we don't really know the specific expression of each vineyard site. So it's cool now that we work with so many that we can start to see the differences in the bottle and in the glass, you know, apart from just in the winery before they're blended together.
And Martin plated the dish that's going with the rosé. Can you explain that for me?
Yeah, right.
The chef?
Yeah, right. Well, I find kind of the earthiness of beets, the earthy kind of sweetness of beets, is perfect with the kind of floral, herbal notes of this wine. So it's kind of a complementary and contrasting pairing in that you're kind of non-fruit notes. This rosé always has a bit of texture to it. You know, Dan has some, you know, lee stirring and juice stirring techniques that add some weight and texture to the wine, which play nicely with the yogurt. And of course, the citrus kind of notes of the sumac and the, you know, mirrored in the citrus notes of the wine. So,
could that rosé be a winter rosé?
Yeah, absolutely.
I did a special on winter whites and I really got hung up on it. You just talked about the texture of this rosé. Could that carry you through the winter?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a wine that I grab for, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and all those meals where you have so many different plates across the table. It's either got bubbles in it or rosé to go with all of it.
So. Okay, for those people out there who want to find this wine, describe the name again and where to find it and price points and how many cases.
2020 Sunnydale Rosé. It was somewhere around 120 cases, I think. And we only sell it direct to consumer, so either on our website or from our tasting room.
Price point?
It is $27.30.
And how many cases again?
About just over 100.
Oh, man. You're going to make more?
I think maybe 40 are left.
Can you make more?
No, that's all from that vineyard.
Oh, yeah. Are we not going to see that again?
Oh, no, we will. Yeah, in 2021. And yeah, I think we'll make it in perpetuity.
Okay. You're going to try this dish. Oh, tell me about the Charme de Lille.
Oh, it's...
Like Martin tried to say that it was the single most popular wine at Unsworth. And I said, wait a minute. What about the rosé?
It could be. Charme, especially if you take Charme and Charme rosé, I mean, that's a good chunk of the wine we sell. And rightly so. People have been screaming at the island to make more bubbles for a long time. And so that's precisely what we did. And it's just so fitting to the region. And, you know, because it's so fitting to the region to make sparkling wine, that's why us and Avril Creek registered the trademark. And if you have all island fruit and if you're making it in Method Charmat, then you can be licensed to put Charme de Lille on the label. And so it's kind of a regional style for the island and something we've been working on for almost a decade now. And I think it's very unique, not only to BC, but to the wine world. I mean, you don't see many New World regions coming up with a style of wine that all producers use.
A name.
Yeah, see Tidal Bay or Vigneault.
What's the third wine?
Saison Pinot Gris. I mean, that's a classic for us. We've been working with Saison Fruit for over a decade, and it's been the backbone of our Pinot Gris production. Our own vineyard is now mature and growing fantastic fruit, so it has taken on more of our Pinot Gris blend, but we wanted to keep the Saison Vineyard Gris on its own because it's been such a special place for us and a backbone of our Pinot Gris.
Now, what happened in the tasting room? Did it completely shut down? And how long? When did it start to show signs of life again?
Well, I mean, in many ways, apart from the shutdown a year ago, we haven't really missed a beat. We were able to do tastings outside. It was a pretty mild winter, apart from a couple of weeks. So it's been great, and we've we're always really reliant on our locals. So the tourism factor, I mean, obviously it was not as busy as it could be, but you know, we've always been supported so wonderfully by our locals. So they were always there, and just like any other winery, we were doing a lot of shipping and so we weathered the storm. Hopefully things are changing now.
You don't get your hopes up. All right. I asked Andrew about the property that you purchased, some 60 acres, and are going to turn into vineyards. I said, do we know what clones you're going to plant? He said, oh, no, you got to talk to Chris. I don't know what clones we're going to do because he's the clone guy. Do you know what clones you're going to plant?
Well, that's funny because I thought he put the vine order in. But, I think from a Pinot Noir standpoint, kind of the classic ones that are planted throughout BC. You know, we're talking about the Dijon clones, 667, 828, 777, and 115. I mean, I'd be surprised if all four of those weren't planted at least in some degree across the site.
And the Shards?
I believe another BC classic, 95, reliable. And I think it's some other kind of more... not experimental, but ones that I don't think are available or have been planted in BC before, but and kind of more on a trial basis.
And Chris, from a personal standpoint, what Gamay clone are you putting in?
Oh, I have no idea. I couldn't even tell you what name a Gamay clone.
Are you going to put a Gamay in there?
Oh, I hope so. I hope.
Could you help a guy who loves Gamay?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's...
One row.
Couple acres, yeah. Yeah, I think Gamay, especially Gamay and Pinot blend, is a perfect place to put the kind of more light, juicy, kind of textural Pinot Noir to make a bright blend.
We're going to dive into these beets, but from Martin, thank you so much, Chef. Two things. A, can we go and see your 60 acres? Can I go have a look? Even if it's just sort of rough and tumble stumps and things, can I have a look?
Yeah, you brought sturdy shoes.
My Merrells, but they're clean. We don't have to walk in them. And the other thing is, of your releases that are coming, which are the ones we should keep an eye out for?
Well, I mean, you mentioned Gamay. We got to wait for it to get in bottle first, but it'll be bottled at the end of the summer. So I don't know, Christmas release or maybe next spring. But we did a Gamay in 2018 from fruit from West Kelowna. But the 2020 Gamay is going to be from the Couchen Valley, which is exciting. So that's a cool one. But something a little more... you know, readily available and currently available is our 2019 Chardonnay, which is actually from the same vineyard as the upcoming Gamay. It's really exciting. It's the first Chardonnay for us. I mean, as wine pros, we all love Chardonnay. As a, you know, as far as what white grapes grow go, it's between that and Riesling for, you know, showing a
oak,
place.
Oak on oak?
Neutral oak, fermented and aged. So you get some creaminess, you get some texture, but no vanilla, no spice, no smoky notes. It's about the fruit and it's about kind of the texture.
Thank you.
No, my pleasure. Thank you.
Let's dive into what Martin gave us. Thank you. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite. Recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that the tasting room at Enrico Winery will be open this summer, Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. And you'll be happy to know that music has started on the deck, weather permitting. And a reminder that the whole month of August, they're celebrating the Cowichan Wine Festival. All of the details at EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you go to the website, the growing flock includes Black Swift Vineyards and Screaming Frenzy. There's a link there. The Scoundrels at Crown and Thieves, there's a link there. If you're heading for The Hatch, see if you can get there for their Hatchy Hour, their version of a happy hour. 20% off bottles purchased in the picnic area between 2:30 and 5:30. The Hatch is also the home of Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy Wines, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, and Smoke Show Barbecue. But they do ask you to come on down, and they'll do their best to facilitate you and your group and shower you with love, affection, and wine. All the details at thehatchwines.com.
I found Tim and myself and Josie and Meg at what will be down the road. Some 60 acres available to vineyards. How much you plant, of course, is up to you and the land. How did you find it?
It was for sale twice over the last couple of years, and but very inaccessible, so not terribly interesting to drive by. And being up half a mile up a driveway didn't help. That it was chained and you couldn't get by. So eventually I did what I should have done in the beginning and phoned the agent, and he brought me up here, and I was surprised when we drove into the property to see that it was actually a nice looking piece of property. And the more we looked at it, the more we realized it was pretty much ticked all the boxes for a vineyard.
And there had been some plantings here?
The fellow that had it before had it for a number of years, and he'd cleared maybe a third of it. He took probably the nicest trees. But he had planned to build his home here, but never got to it and decided to sell the property instead.
When you look down, we're looking at a fine dust, of course, because there's been some roads pushed in here. When you dug down, what kind of soil were you looking at?
Pretty much the same as our own vineyard, and very similar to a lot of the soil around this part of the world. There's somewhere in the depth of 70 to 100 centimeters of topsoil. And then it gets into a gray clay, I guess you'd say. But then it actually turns into blue clay, we've found in most spots, which it's like pottery clay. It's malleable and quite a bit of dampness under the ground that holds water quite well out.
Wonderful. That's exactly what my next question was. Where's your water source?
Yes, it'll be wells. There's one existing well, and we'll need a bit more water, but you know, the way that we grow grapes these days, the amount of water consumed is so minimal that you pretty much need it for the first few years, but you can almost get by without it after that. So.
And in the winter, are we in snow line here?
It's close. We drove up here in the winter a number of times, and you get a little more than, say, Duncan. We're about 5K from Duncan as the crow flies, so not much. And our elevation here is 90. At the top of this property is about 90. Meters, and the bottom's 70.
So facing south now?
We're facing south.
Okay. I have three questions and I'll let you go. This is, what elevation are we?
93 meters.
This is a beautiful piece of land.
Yeah.
This is really special. Have you thought of a name?
I've been working on it, and I've got a bit of a list and soliciting other people's names too, but I won't I won't get into it just yet.
Does everybody get a chance to pitch in on what might be planted here?
Within reason. I mean, the bulk is going to be probably Pinot Noir with a little less Chardonnay, and then the balance, say another 25% or third, can be whatever people want. But you mentioned Gamay, I think that'll be one, and maybe some Gris, but Chris has some ideas of a little more exotic ones, so we'll see.
Okay. Last question, and it's a two-parter. The vineyard that we see you now, when you made your first purchase, money down on a plot of land, was it a vineyard then, or did you do the same sort of tilling the land, getting it ready for?
It was actually a hayfield, okay. So it didn't require the type of
heavy lifting
clearing of this. But there was some soil prep in that, so this is all new to me as far as how you take the land from completely never having been farmed to turning it into a vineyard, but it's a bit of work for sure.
And you back then, the younger you, if you had had an opportunity to buy a place like this standing right here now, could you have done it? Would it have been overwhelming?
It would have been overwhelming. I mean, this is a big project, both in time and money.
But you're not alone anymore.
I'm not alone.
Team.
No, it's that's right. And long after I'm gone, they'll be harvesting fruit off of this piece of
frankly,
land.
So. You know what, Tim? I'll tell you who's going to harvest fruit up here. The bears. They're going to love you.
Yeah, right. Yes, that's right.
This is bear country.
Bear country and elk country and wildlife, but deal with it.
Congratulations. Let us know when you pick a name.
Will do.
Thank you.
Thanks.
My thanks to Chef Martin Hoogeveen at the restaurant at Unsworth, Dan Wright, the winemaker, Andrew Watt, the viticulturalist, Tim and Chris Turek, and all of the Little Turks, and the Unsworth staff. Thank you so much for welcoming us. Have yourself a great Cowich and Wine Festival for the month of August. We'll see you in September. And those 60 acres are beautiful. Well, not now. They will be. You can tell. Unsworth.com. Go find them. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you go to the website, The Growing Flock includes Black Swift Vineyards and Screaming Frenzy. There's a link there. The Scoundrels at Crown and Thieves, there's a link there. If you're heading for The Hatch, see if you can get there for their Hatchy Hour, their version of a happy hour. 20% off bottles purchased in the picnic area between 2:30 and 5:30. The Hatch is also the home of Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy Wines, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, and Smoke Show Barbecue. But they do ask you to come on down, and they'll do their best to facilitate you and your group and shower you with love, affection, and wine. All the details at thehatchwines.com.